Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Jealousy and all kinds of relationship drama today on Daily Pop. Carissa is out, so I'm joined by Jody Sweetin and Liliana Vasquez, everybody.
Hello.
Are you guys ready?
I mean, so ready. We are so ready. Let's go.
Let's do this.
Y'all, this rundown is spicy.
I know.
Let's start off with Jenna Kramer has filed for a divorce from her husband, Mike Kosson. Jenna announced the split on Instagram yesterday, saying she has nothing else to give and can't fight any longer. Now, the pair have two kids and have openly talked about Mike's cheating in the past. As for why Jenna finally called it quits, a source tells E! News that her trust was broken yet again. Yet again.
It's a lot. I mean, I got tired just from reading the relationship rundown of these two. And it's only been, I think, like 5 or 6 years that they've been together, dating, married, with children. And I thought, this is exhausting. Like, one of these years would have taken me out, right? And I'm someone that's, like, in it to win it. Like, I've been married 13 years, but one of these years would have done me in. This woman is strong. She's being strong for her children. But I have to say, I'm just not really surprised, given everything that they've been through. Are you?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. I will say, I think a lot of women go through divorce and they think of it as a failure. Mm-hmm. I think if you've put in 6 years of work at a company, at a restaurant, and it failed, we would still say it was a success.
Right. Well, here's the thing. If you do divorce enough times, eventually you get good at it.
Yeah.
As I know.
Is that from experience?
You know, look, by the third time, you're like, oh, I got this. No, by the way, that's been a running thread this week, and I don't know why. Every day has been some talk about some one of my weddings, divorces, I don't know, something. Anyway, it must be hard, though, because, like, you put, like, even just reading her Instagram post, like, that broke my heart. Like, she was just saying, you know, I've fought so hard, I've done this, I'm, like, oh, it broke my heart, because I've been in that place where you've, like, just put everything you've got.
But let me ask you this question. As somebody who's been divorced, I've never been married, but I often hear people say, well, what will people think if I'm getting divorced again? Did you ever have that thought when you were going through your trials?
Every single day.
Really?
Every single day. It's not easy to have relationship failures in public. It's not easy to have multiple relationship failures in public. But I'm also one of those people, I'm like, look, this is my life. These are my mistakes. Right. This is my journey. And what I've gained and learned from each of these growing moments, like, I wouldn't trade for anything. And, you know, eventually, like, everything's settled down. It works out. You move on. Like, things get peaceful. Yeah. But you definitely judge yourself. And I think as a woman, you're like, I mean, I know I did. I was like, great, I failed.
Right.
All these times, like, what is wrong with me?
And that's
what is
the problem, because you often go to what is wrong with me.
Right.
And it's a whole thing. But let me ask you this other personal question. And you can say, look, please, no, move on.
It's early. You might have had enough coffee and I might have no filter.
Was the first divorce harder or the third? Because, like, were you harder on yourself the first time?
That's actually a great question.
Or the third time? Because I feel like once you rip the Band-Aid off and you've been through it once, you're like, I just know how to handle it.
I think, you know, when I split from my third husband, my younger daughter said, like, it was disheartening. And, you know, the mistakes were made. I, you know, nobody was perfect. Like, I had a lot of learning and a lot of growing up to do.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And so I look at it as I thought I failed in that moment, but I actually really grew. And I hope that for her. Like, I hope she feels that despite failure, which, what is that? What is that? Yeah. So you got out of a bad relationship? Yeah. How is that failure?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
And that's the way I looked at it. I was like, you know what? Nobody knows what's going on in this relationship. I chose to leave because it's better for me. Like, let... So what?
Staying
I don't care
one.
What you think.
Staying in
it
one.
It's worse. And right. I also think there's no shame in advocating for yourself and picking yourself, right?
Right?
And even if you have children, I think a lot of times women who have children stay in a marriage
right.
for the kids. But I always say, think about this, right? You are better as an individual outside of a toxic relationship,
yes.
outside
yes.
of
Absolutely.
A bad relationship. You are a better mother. You are a better mm-hmm. sister. You are a better human being and a parent to these kids.
Yeah.
When you advocate for yourself rather than staying in something and showing them that right. abuse is okay,
yes.
that
right.
going past
yes.
your boundaries and
okay.
limits
yep.
is okay.
Yes.
So I think, thankfully, I think it's generational. I think our generation is saying, hey, listen, no, if this doesn't work for us, we're going to move on and separate right. amicably, right?
And, yeah, and I
Why
don't
not?
Think, I, and I don't think, you know, people are like, oh, well, how many times have you been married? It's like, you know what? I look at it, it's like some people are hopeless romantics. Like,
that's
you
true.
Love, love.
Oh.
What's wrong? Like, what's, it's okay. You know what?
That's
life is messy.
I'm gonna be Tom Brady of engagement rings. I'm gonna look like Thanos
right?
with all the
yes.
engagement rings. With all the engagement rings.
And I actually think it takes more strength to be that person because that means that you don't close yourself off. Because I know women that have been through one divorce and they're like, never again.
Right.
I'm never gonna be vulnerable like that to another human being. And you close yourself off. So I actually think there's more strength in saying, no, I'm open to
again, yeah,
even
but,
if it fails.
Yeah, but don't get it twisted because I feel like the younger generation mm-hmm. has, yes, it's great that you can look at a relationship and say, okay,
right.
this is not for me. I need to get out of this toxic relationship. But I feel like some people get in a marriage and the minute they hit the first road bump,
yeah,
it's like,
right.
I can't do this.
Right,
I didn't
right,
sign
right.
up for this.
Yeah.
No, bitch, you signed up for this.
right.
Like, one
no,
road
right.
bump.
But people don't sign up for marriage. They sign up for weddings and gifts
that's
and
the
excitement of a wedding. And then you're in the day-to-day marriage of it all. And like marriage is great, but it's not fun every day.
Right.
Like sometimes it feels like another job, right? And
yeah.
it's a job that I've gotten really good at and
yeah.
I'm very proud of myself. My husband would definitely give me a great evaluation.
Right. You'd get a great Yelp review.
I do. I would get a great Yelp review. But here's the thing. It is a choice. Every single day, and it is work. Let me tell you, it is work.
Especially with kids.
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
I have an amazing boyfriend right now who I've been with for almost the last 4 years, who's wonderful and amazing. And like, once you find that right person, like it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
And you find yourself like, okay, if we do come into something, like I'm willing to work on it. I'm willing to put the time in. Cause I know this, it's not like toxic, it's not bad. And that's the hard thing I think for some people is, and I think maybe she had gone through that too, where it was like, I want to keep trying. I want to keep doing this. But
yes.
at what point do you go,
yeah,
this is not
this
right.
This is not,
healthy.
I'm crossing my boundaries of what's okay in order to make someone yeah. else feel better.
Yes.
And I need to, that needs to end.
You need to hit yeah. that eject button.
We right. hit that eject button.
Eject, yes.
We're going to hit the eject button on this story because I'm sure more is going to come out and we're going to keep you updated here at E! But sticking with marriage, Alexis Ohanian might be best known as Mr. Serena Williams, but he is totally okay with it. When a fan tweeted, "I love how you don't mind that they call you Serena Williams' husband," Alexis replied, "I love him. I'll be a self-made billionaire one day, and most people will still know me as Serena Williams' husband or Olympia's dad, and that is fine by me."
Good for him.
If
love
you
that.
Guys were married to someone super famous,
mm-hmm.
would you just be okay with being that person's spouse? And be honest, and let's, and the same conditions, millions and millions of dollars.
Right. Financially wealthy, independent, sane.
So I get to be a potential self-made billionaire, but
yes.
married to someone.
You're just someone's wife. Or someone, they only refer to you as so-and-so's wife.
I'm still almost a billionaire on my own. That's fine. I don't need the name right. And you know what? Actually, like, having had name recognition, that sounds actually, you're like, that might be kind of
yeah, like, right? I'll take that deal any day.
I'll take that deal any day.
My boyfriend says he just wants to be like Dolly Parton's husband. He's like, I'm just Dolly Parton's husband. I'm like, who's Dolly Parton's husband? He's like,
Exactly.
And we've been married for like forever.
Forever.
He's like, I'm your biggest fan. I don't want to go on the red carpet. I don't want pictures. I don't want, like, I am there to support you.
Yeah.
I'll be known as the husband and that's, or you know, the boyfriend, whatever, that's fine. Like,
I really thought about this morning.
I'm curious to actually, okay, so how would you feel? Because Would you feel like it's not enough? Or do you think...
I feel like I know myself. Mm-hmm. I'm such a Scorpio, and my Achilles heel and my worst and best, you know, attribute is that I compare myself to others. When my friends who are also in the entertainment hosting world get something, I'm immediately happy for them, but I always say, I wonder how that person did that. Why couldn't that have been me for just a second?
And that's honest.
That's me being honest.
Of course.
So if it was in my face 24/7, I think I would have an issue with it if they were in my same field in entertainment. Now, if I married a dude who was the Wolf of Wall Street or the biggest attorney ever or a billionaire, you know, tech person, I wouldn't care because you have your lane and I have my lane.
Why it works. He's got his own thing that he is successful in by his own right and whatever has nothing to do with sports or her. They both get to be individually successful, but she's the more well-known. So he's like, I've got the success. What is the... Yeah.
But A-Rod and J-Lo, kind of, sort of...
Similar, but blending.
I feel like he's got a little more... He wants to be in it a little more.
Yes.
Yeah, and I also think, listen, in this particular situation, you're talking about somebody that founded Reddit, okay? This is not someone that people are going to forget. Like, he's in the history books, right? He is worth, or almost going to be worth, $1 billion.
Yeah, a billion, would it be?
And I'm not, and I think that part of his confidence and satisfaction comes from knowing I built something that people use every single day, multiple times a day, and I'm going to be worth $1 billion. So if I'm going to be Serena's husband, cool. I think the issue comes in when you're maybe not as successful as
your partner.
Right.
That is hard.
Because there are very equal playing fields, what does he care? He has a beautiful daughter.
Yes.
He gets to be married to Serena Williams, who's the ultimate badass.
Yes.
And he gets to run his own company. I think what happens is when one person's star starts to rise higher, whether that's finances, name recognition, brand awareness, professional success, then you start to see the conflicts come to head.
Yeah, but you married Serena Williams as Serena Williams. Like, you didn't marry Beyoncé at Latavia, and then she became Beyoncé. That's a
whole
another jam.
Although, I think if you married Beyoncé at, like, 16, it's just going to be the Beyoncé show.
It's just going to be the Beyoncé show forever.
Like, you knew what you were signing up for.
Exactly.
That was like a meteorite. That wasn't a star.
But I think it is. It's an ego check thing. It's like how much of your ego is in this relationship.
Yeah.
And can you be a person who can take the back seat? And,
some days. Yeah. Some days.
I wish a man would check my ego. I wish a man would check this ego. Coming up, Michael B. Jordan's dropping a new confession about his love life. And it's got us all talking over here. That is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. It's time for Pop of Love.
Ooh.
Now, what would you do if you were out and about and you run into your ex's new lady? For Sophia Richie, she made like Forrest Gump and she ran. It all went down yesterday at Sophia's Pilates class. Apparently, she heard that Scott's new boo, Amelia Hamlin, was also going to be there too. Now, an insider tells us she left because she wanted to avoid the situation. First of all, this is Los Angeles, and Pilates classes cost $40. Mm-hmm. So if I'm leaving, it better be in a hearse. Okay? I paid the $40, I will leave in a hearse.
Right.
And you better work out my dead corpse while you're at it. But if you ran into your ex's new boo, what would you guys do? Would you just leave?
Oh, no, I'd stay.
I'd want the confrontation.
Not even the confrontation. I'm like, I'm not leaving. Are you leaving?
Good for you. That is the definition of a confrontation.
Yes.
She goes, no, I don't want the confrontation, but I'm ready to take her down.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I don't want the confrontation, but should it present itself, I'll be like, all right, let's go.
Right. I find that.
I'm not leaving my Pilates class.
No, this is my reformer.
Right.
By the way, best workout you've ever had. The instructor's like, oh my God, you gave it your all today. What was that?
Right?
Do I look good going to Pilates, or am I looking like ragged going to Pilates?
I hate you.
I hate you.
No, you don't. You love me because you were thinking the same thing. You just didn't want to say it.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
You're like, do I have my kid?
And that's why you hate me.
Because, you know, some days you look good when you're going to work out. Like, you wake up and you're like, this body. Okay, this body is not on point. But most days
when you're working out, it's growing a baby.
This body is on point. Like, my eyebrows look good. I'm going to Pilates. And I'm going to follow every bitch in this Pilates class. But then some days you're like, God, I haven't been to Pilates in months.
Right.
Everything's loose.
Right.
Or you're
like, I haven't showered in a couple days, but I'm going to go anyway and just, I'll do it after.
So
and you're
for
like,
me,
oh, no.
If I look good, I'm with you. I'm like, what's up?
I like to rip the Band-Aid off. I like to rip the Band-Aid off. I also pray for a lot of things, and I'm realistic with my prayers. So when I say, oh my God, God, please, I don't say, please don't let me run into my ex's new man. I say, when I run into him, make sure I look the bomb.
Right.
At a Christmas party or somewhere.
Yeah.
I also am the type, and call me weird if you want, if I know that my ex and his new boo will be at a place, instead of avoiding that new place, I will go. I will go to the dinner. I will go to the party.
Yeah.
I will make sure I'm in my best tip-top form.
Absolutely.
I'm wearing my skinny panties.
Right.
And I'm ready to go in and say hello and get it over with.
Because you just want
it
out of the
way. It's the maturity of it, right? Like, at some point, you've
got to
be like, I'm going to see you, whatever. And I also am just like, I mean, it didn't work. I don't want him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it's more like, I feel like going up and just giving him a hug.
Right. And see him get excited.
Sorry.
And see him get excited.
Yeah, talk to me in 6 months. We'll meet back here.
Okay, I'm so happy I got two women on this panel. Because the next story I have a lot of opinions about. But should we stop using the word mistress? That's what the Associated Press is suggesting. The AP tweeted, don't use the word mistress for a woman who's in a long-term sexual relationship with and is financially supported by a married man. Now, no surprise here, but people freaked the hell out. There are responses like, I'm sorry, but I'll make fun of it if you use the word companion, and we recommend you go with side piece.
Yep.
First of all, I'm gonna say something that's gonna piss a lot of people off.
But ooh, I'm here for this.
Turn up his mic, people.
Ready?
Turn
here we
up
go.
The mic.
I think a lot of women look the other way when their husbands have companions or side pieces because they don't want to have to do things that they don't want to do. So if your husband has a side piece, a mistress, a companion, whatever you want to call her, what you should call her is a coworker because she is taking up some of the work that you don't want to do.
You know what, Justin? I'm kind of actually
You call her a colleague.
Because, here's the thing. I'm going to say it depends on how long you've been in a relationship.
Yes.
Because I feel like the first few years, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, but what I think about the whole mistress word is that it puts the onus on the woman.
Yes.
As usual, it puts the onus on the woman who is with the married man, and it gives no name
to the man.
The man who has decided to make this. So, you know, sometimes these women, I mean, I've met plenty of women who had no idea that they were with a married man for years.
Yes.
Okay. So why are they called the mistress when this
because
dude is...
Because that's what their name is.
No. But by the way, men misrepresent their relationships all the time.
Yes.
And they don't tell the
to
full
truth. To their wives?
No, to the mistress.
To the other person.
To the companion.
Yes, to the companion.
Okay, that's a very different scenario. So yes, I believe there are women who do not know that they are involved with a married man that has a family, or even a man that's in another relationship. I agree with you. Those women should not be referred to as mistresses because they're being kept in the dark, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like he's being deceitful towards them.
Right.
There are mistresses that knowingly sleep with married men, with men that are in committed relationships. Why are we coming up with euphemisms for women that are knowingly participating in a relationship with a man that is married?
I just wonder, why don't we have a name for the man?
That's a good point.
But do you see what I'm saying?
But there's a difference. But let me tell you something. This is what I feel this way about men, women, by anybody in a relationship, we often get mad at the other person and we let our husbands get away with it and we forgive and we keep on moving and we call our husbands, yet we want to put a name on the other person.
Well, I'm mad at everybody. I'm coming for all of y'all. Like, I'm coming equally with the same heat for my cheating husband as I am for the mystery. Like, everyone's going down.
Again, back to the time of the relationship, though. Look, 20 years in, you might be like, look, just go.
Just go.
Let me tell you something. You know what I mean? You get the benefits, you get married, you get the house, you get that, and then you're like,
living in the twilight zone right now.
Let me tell you something.
If he's watching, don't you dare.
Yet. Don't you dare yet.
Let me tell you a really...
20 years, look,
I'm going to tell you something crazy. There is a huge Hollywood celebrity who has been happily married for, I want to say, almost 2 decades. Huge name.
Ooh.
You would know the wife. They walk red carpets together. They talk about their relationship openly. They're on talk shows. Right. They do everything. He has had a mistress for as long as I know, 7 years.
Yeah.
This woman is taken care of. She lives at another house.
Yep.
At times, this other woman, the wife, calls the mistress to find and to work
that
schedules.
That is an open marriage. That's very different.
Right. That's a polyamorous marriage, which is a different experience. Well,
correct. Because if they have those boundaries in their relationship and they're like, listen, it's okay for you to have an extra companion or paramour, whatever you want, side piece, I'm good with that. That's very different. That's, to me, a healthy relationship. They're communicating.
Right.
They've set their boundaries. They know that's okay. There's only one of them, we hope. I'm okay with that because two consenting adults agreed to that arrangement.
Right. Yeah, you know what? And by the way, until you realize that you're the side piece and not the main woman, you guys.
Oh, honey, I am never a side piece.
All I'm saying is I felt like I said everything that my boyfriend should not do, and I'm not saying that. None of this is going to happen. I'm just saying hypothetically for other people.
We have got to go to break. You guys, let me know what you think on social, hashtag Daily Pop.
Are you a side piece?
I am not a side piece.
Justin's mistress.
Justin's a mistress, not a side piece.
From old Hollywood
to
the 1920s fashion of My Rainey, we're showing you how to get the stylish looks from your favorite movies. Do not go anywhere. I am never a side piece.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS. Or play online via Facebook games.
All right, guys, let's talk a little Oscar fashion. Here to show us how to get the looks from some of your favorite Oscar-nominated movies is Hollywood Reporter contributing editor and my friend Brooke Jaffe. Good to see you.
So good to see you, Liliana.
This is such a special occasion.
It is.
We've gotten to work remotely together, but here we are in the studio, ready to kick things off. I'm so excited that the Oscars are finally here, right?
Finally, we are celebrating at the Hollywood Reporter, and a lot of the films are looking way back in time, but what's very exciting is that the fashion also feels very modern. There are ways to adapt it and get inspired.
Okay, so we're going to talk about some of our favorite films, how we can be inspired with those fashions. So let's start with Mank. How do we get that beautiful old Hollywood glam that we all want a little more of in our life?
Yeah, so that the movie is set in the 1930s, and it's all about, you know, you'll notice in fashion, we've been talking about sleeves for a long time.
Yes.
The flutter sleeve is so important. This is from Lulu's. It's a sequin, beautiful white flutter sleeve, and I love the hemline, just like right at the knee.
Pretty.
Super glam. Deco inspired earrings from Bobble Bar, which we love. And then that little crystal slide. It's in the footwear world right now, we're really seeing a return to slides, kind of easy, less straps, and love this shoe from Jeffrey Campbell.
Okay, now I have to ask you, because you know I love a good deal. The dress is from Lulu's.
It's $88.
So it's under $100.
It's under $100.
Oh, Brooke,
it's under
$100. Under $100, fine. And I feel like this is the time of year everybody wants a white dress, so that is definitely one to pick up.
It's a great dress.
Okay, now let's talk about Ma Rainey's Black Bottom,
Set in the 1920s, so we saw, especially in Viola Davis, these amazing colors, amazing fabrics, and there was a really special dress that she wore that was this brocade velvet, very opulent. And then one of my favorite brands, so this one is a little bit pricier. This one's from Cinque Set, one of my favorite brands that really kind of nails the trends every season. But I kind of couldn't believe how close this was in terms of the pattern that we saw in the film. And then again, we're making it 2021 by adding that puff shoulder, the mini length. And then the update for footwear here is we've got the square toe shoe, and the square toe is the update in the sandal for the season.
Okay,
I am
living for the sandals, and I don't miss a beat. Brooke is actually wearing their shoes right now, and you're gonna leave those in my dressing room.
Yeah.
Are these pricey?
No, they're Jeffrey Campbell. They're cheap and cheerful. And I have to say, they are so comfortable.
Okay, you guys look so cute. And I do feel like adding that modern square toe shoe, even if you're not buying one new thing, if you just add the modern shoe, it instantly updates everything in your closet.
You took the words out of my mouth. Old dress, new shoe, and then, yeah. So that's enough said there.
So, so cute. Okay, let's talk about Emma. This takes place during the Regency period.
Period.
And it's all about, now correct me if I'm wrong, is it Umpire or Empire Waist?
I'm gonna say Empire Waist.
Okay,
I think that can be the Umpire, yes, Empire Waist, it's up here. And this dress, this kind of, it's almost a baby doll style returning a little bit. But I love the romance of the Regency period. We love the puff shoulder at the Hollywood Reporter. Love the open back hair. This is from a brand called Waif, available at Nordstrom's. Again, we're seeing pastels. We're seeing these pastoral prints, these kind of muted feminine moments. And I love that that's what this film brings out in, or brings to light in fashion. Shoe, got to point this out again, from Lulu's, we've got a mule. Mules didn't feel current, and now all of a sudden
it's like all we want to wear.
They're all we want to wear, and I love it with this bow detail. It's not too sugary sweet. It feels appropriate. Simple strand of pearls, and there you have it.
Okay, now can I ask you two questions? Number one, with a dress like this, it feels very youthful to me.
Yes.
So as a woman who's in my 40s,
yes,
is this a look that women in their 40s and 50s can execute as cute as this model?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think you've got to play with it. I think what I would take away from it is I like the shoulder interest very much. I think you've got to be the best judge of what length is the best.
Yes.
And then with footwear. I would not put this with a tall shoe. You know, I think you've got to kind of be mindful of those things.
Yeah.
But I think you can pull off the shoulder.
For sure.
For sure. And I love the print and the color palette.
And I also just love what a bigger shoulder like that and that shape does for your body's proportions, y'all. It's
100%.
Like, it's like camouflage dressing. It just balances everything out.
If you think of what like a blazer does traditionally for the body, it gives you a little bit of momentum here and then draws attention to the waist. So it's kind of, pulling you in.
Brooke, this was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
I love what you called it, cheap and cheerful. We love a cheap and cheerful line. And guys, for more Oscar fashion inspiration, you can go to HollywoodReporter.com. And of course, Hollywood's biggest night is just days away. Saturday, join us for Daily Pop Oscars edition at a very special time, 10 a.m. Then on Sunday, it's the big day. The Oscars are on ABC at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we are going to have coverage all day here on E! Starting at 3 Eastern. Now, after the break, the wild new dating show involving some big Hollywood stars you won't believe who's looking for love and how you, yes, you, could get a shot at that. That's coming up next.
Welcome back. It's time for today's Hollywood Minute. Hilary Duff is starring in the sequel to How I Met Your Mother. Now, Hilary and Hulu just announced she'll produce and star as Sophie in How I Met Your Father.
Where's your suit? Suit up. I'm excited about my job, if you can't tell.
In the new series, Hilary's character tells her son how she met his father, which takes us back to 2021, where she and her friends are in the middle of trying to figure out life. Now, Whoopi Goldberg is Hollywood royalty, we already knew that, on the cover of the new Variety. And here's proof she's a total class act. After her Best Supporting Actress Oscar win for Ghost 30 years ago, she reveals how she took her fellow nominees like Annette Bening to dinner after she won and gave them chocolate Oscar statuettes. I want one of those. Now, this is a wild story. Zooey Deschanel and Michael Bolton are hosting a new show, The Celebrity Dating Game. Yep, the stars are going on TV to find love. Guests so far include Bachelorette Hannah Brown, Iggy Azalea, and Taye Diggs. Would you go on this show?
Yeah, if I wasn't pregnant and married.
Good night.
Listen, I like love and I like Michael Bolton and I love Zoe. So, I mean, I don't know. People meet people in all different places now.
Honey, I would go to prison to find a man at this point.
I don't doubt that.
Elizabeth Olsen almost gave up her famous last name. She's on the cover of Glamour's UK digital issue, and she explains why she wanted to separate herself from her famous sisters. Have you heard of those people called Mary-Kate and Ashley?
Just slightly. Mm-hmm. I've never heard a little
bit about
them.
There's some sort of association of not earning something that I think bothered me at a very young age and had nothing to do with not being proud of what my sisters were doing. It had everything to do with my own insecurities. I did think, I'm just going to be Elizabeth Chase, you know, when I become an actress kind of thing. And I can't believe I became an actress.
You know, I'm sad to report this, but I think there's like a curse on the second born in Hollywood. Like, you have all of these famous siblings who are equally as talented as their older siblings, but for some reason, they can't break through. Think about Aaron Carter. You think about Jamie Lynn Spears. You think about Hayley Duff. You think about Solange Knowles, who's right. Unbelievable.
Solange is amazing.
I think people just want you to be your older sibling,
right.
And it never really works out for you.
Right.
No, that's true.
And I think in this case, because Ashley and Mary-Kate have really moved into the fashion world and like that's their priority, I feel like there is enough of a separation that it's not like a weird, you know what I mean? Like there's not, there's not really any crossover. Like they're famous designers at this point. Like that's what they do.
Yes.
They are famous in the fashion world. She is famous as an actress. Like I think there's that separation that really is working for her.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't know would have been if they had continued in act. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think people are like, oh, they're the close ones. She's the actor.
Right. It's like we only give enough space for one sibling to be famous or super famous.
That's a good way to
right?
say it.
And then we're like, well, that's enough for one family. Like, let's spread the wealth a little bit more.
I mean, I'm glad I'm an only child.
You know, I have this conversation with my siblings because I have a younger sister who's 17 years old, and she made a comment one time that it's really hard to walk, you know, behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like, I understand how you feel, but I had an older sister who was beautiful. She played sports. She was the bomb. Everyone loved her. And to walk in that shadow was a little bit tough, but it made me work a little bit harder and made me want to brand myself as something different so I wouldn't have to be her brother for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's a very adult way to look at it, especially when you are younger. I think when you're in your teens, you're really trying to form your own identity, be your own person, and I think that's harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, you know, there's a ton of celebrity kids that have changed their name or used a different name because they don't want to be judged.
No, we talked about that the other day. Are you Kate Winslet and her daughter.
Who?
Wait. I'm pretty sure when they call and say, oh my God, I'm gonna have such and such coming, you know it's blah, 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 blah,
okay,
son,
so
but
yes,
don't say anything.
Maybe they're calling behind the scenes. And by the way, you would make the same call for your child.
Yes.
Okay, but I do think that from the public perception, like I didn't know that Meryl Streep's daughter was an actress.
But everybody who went ahead and casted her knew that Mimi Gump was Meryl Streep's daughter.
True, but I will
say, the general audience.
Exactly, like
people
I didn't
in the
know.
Business maybe yes, but people,
not
the audience
general
will give her a chance.
Yeah, but you're gonna use that last name no matter what. If I was Meryl Streep's daughter, my name would be Streep Street. I'm just saying.
I want to meet Meryl Streep so bad. I love her. I think she's amazing. But I'm really proud. I just
Streep,
have to say, I'm
Streep?
Really proud.
Streep, Streep.
If there's any question about it, I'm Streep Streep.
I'm Streep Streep.
Streep, Streep. Yeah.
Coming up, Paris Hilton admits she's ready for change. We'll dive into that. Plus, delicious cookies that are also good for the environment.
Ooh.
Sign me up. We're celebrating Earth Day in the kitchen with a very special guest. We're going to make some Tesla cookies.
I'm ready for change, because it's time to think of our personal wellness in relationship to the overall wellness of the planet. We need to live in harmony with the Earth, whether it's how you hydrate, how you travel, the food you eat, or the skincare products that you buy.
Marine animals like sea turtles, seabirds, and whales are at risk and greatly affected by ocean pollution. They play a very important part in our ecosystem. So this Earth Day, let's all try to make a difference. You can start simple. That's what I did, and before I knew it, I was making more environmentally conscious decisions on the regular.
That is Paris Hilton and Zoe Saldana sharing their tips to save the planet on Earth Day. Now, they're both investors in Zen Water, which comes in bottles made totally from recycled ocean-bound plastic, which I'm obsessed with. And now we're gonna celebrate Mother Nature by learning how to cook sustainably in the kitchen. And here to teach us, please welcome health expert and wellness expert, Shayna Taylor, everybody.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Now, you guys, as always, we'll have these recipes online. Mm-hmm. So scan that QR code at the bottom of your screen. When I do a dinner party, what I get nervous about is that some people are gluten-free, some people are vegan.
Yeah.
So you're gonna teach us a dessert that's both.
Yes, it is vegan, gluten-free, and refined sugar-free, which is great.
Mm.
So it's super easy as well, not too complicated, which is always great. And yeah, so we'll just get straight into it.
Let's
so
do it.
We have butter, it's a vegan butter already in our bowl.
Okay.
So what is this actually?
So this is a matcha sugar cookie made with Morning Ritual matcha.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So sorry, should have started with that. So here we go.
Speaking of matcha, what's like good about matcha? I know there's a lot.
Yeah. So it's a long, steady energy, which is amazing, obviously, for a long day of work. It's also really high in antioxidants, which is getting rid of free radicals in the body. And then it's also a metabolism booster, and then high in selenium, which is good for the immune system.
I feel so much better about my matcha tea latte. Okay, let's go.
Exactly. All right. So you're gonna add the sugar with the butter.
Mm-hmm. Is this the sugar?
Yes.
Okay, I'm a horrible cook, so we're just
adding it to a bowl. It's pretty simple. We're gonna throw in the matcha as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where we get your.
Wait. Is this the matcha?
Yes, that's the matcha. And then we're gonna use your tool.
Oh, nice. Yes, I get to blend. By the way, I've already tasted this, and it's good. It's already good.
Yep. So you're just gonna blend till it's mixed, nice and smooth.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And once you kind of got that.
By the way, what is flax egg?
So a flax egg,
see, it's right here.
Yeah, so actually we need to mix it together, which here we go. So we have our flax meal. So I'm gonna explain what a flax egg is. It's an egg replacement, so it's a vegan option. Why it becomes a little bit more sustainable, mix it in the water just like that. And then we're gonna mix it in as well as we can. So what happens is the flax meal actually absorbs the water and creates a binding type consistency that is a replacement of egg.
Oh.
So yes, so it keeps the cookie together instead of it crumbling apart if you're using an egg replacement. So next for our recipe, we're gonna add in, this is the flour right here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna put that in there. Uh-huh. We're gonna put our baking powder.
Nice.
Got it.
Our vanilla extract.
Please tell me this is sea salt.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
Man. Oh, I got matcha on my arm.
It's good for the skin. It's good for the skin. It's all good.
All right, let's get these all in. I'm ready to taste this cookie.
Get them in there.
Okay, wait. What are we putting in?
Just put it all in.
Just put it all in.
Just mix it all in. There's no rules here. That's actually the blessing about gluten-free recipes is typically you don't have to go you can kind of go off kilter and it still works.
I'm gonna go to trying it. How long do we bake these for?
Yeah,
so I like that.
It's 350 for 12 minutes, and voila, that is the cookie.
Okay, let's start on the next one because I love beet and carrots so much, and you're gonna teach us how to make it into a falafel really quickly.
I am. So what's great about this is this is using food scraps. So food scraps from beet and carrot pulp. I don't know if you guys are into juicing, but it's obviously fun to juice. So we have beet pulp and carrot pulp.
Got it.
So we're gonna put it into a bowl. It would be ideal to use a food processor, but that's obviously very obnoxious for this. So we're gonna just.
We only have 30 seconds left. Tell me what's all in this, because I wanna taste this as well.
So it is a little bit of almond flour, olive oil. We have onions and garlic cooked. We have pepper flakes, cayenne, dried basil, cumin, and cinnamon. And then we have fresh herbs.
Okay, so this is a falafel. This is not a cookie. I need to prepare myself for
falafel. It is a falafel, so it is savory. You bake it. Basically, you roll it into falafel-shaped things, and you bake it for 30 minutes and flipping it over.
I juice a lot, and I never know what to do with the ferments. This is amazing.
Compost bin.
I need a compost bin.
What's also great is LA more big main cities have a composting program, so you can actually look it up, and you can find a local place will either pick up your compost, or you can go and deliver it, which is great.
Oh my God, I love that.
Amazing.
Shayna, tell us where we can find more recipes like this.
Shaynaskitchen.com or my blog, which is shaynas.kitchen.
I follow it. It is amazing. I get so many ideas from it. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
It's totally delicious and easy. Even I did it with just one mishap.
You guys, we'll be right back with more Daily Pop after I taste these cookies yet again.
Yes.
You probably recognize Emerald Fennell as the Crown's Camilla Parker Bowles.
I love you, Israel.
But Emerald is a total boss behind the scenes, too.
Gosh.
She's the writer and director of this season's breakout film, Promising Young Woman, which is...
the sort of twisted female revenge comedy thriller.
It's Emerald's feature directorial debut, and she did it while pregnant. She's truly a woman who wows us, and her star, Carey Mulligan, agrees.
She's just lovely and really insightful and smart and direct, and she doesn't mess around.
The film's up for Best Picture at the Oscars, and Emerald made history with her nod for directing. She's up against Nomadland's Chloe Zhao, making this year the first time two women have been nominated in the Best Director category.
This reminds me of when Phoebe Waller-Bridge came on the scene. Mm-hmm. And kind of sort of came in as a director, as a writer, as an mm-hmm. actress, right. and kind of swept Hollywood by storm. And now this woman is doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. I saw her in The Crown. I was obsessed with her. I saw her in Call the Midwife. Obsessed. Even more obsessed yeah. with her. Promising Young Woman. All of it.
Do you know that she directed, wrote, everything, did that movie? She was 6 or 7 months pregnant, behind the camera, calling all the
yeah,
shots.
Yeah, I did hear that.
The exhaustion that I feel just like sitting on this set with you guys is like overwhelming. Because right? like, I'm just always tired. I cannot believe that this woman is such a powerhouse.
She's amazing.
That she was able to direct this film and then get the nomination and the recognition she deserves. Yes. If you've not seen this movie, you need to watch it. That is like straight mom woman
goals. I mean, I am so proud of like women that are yeah. really making a difference and making a change and making a name for themselves, because you know we've seen so many men throughout the years that, you know, like, oh, I direct, I wrote, I this, I that. These women are coming in on fire, and it is
she's
fantastic.
Amazing.
On fire.
Yes.
I'm happy the women are doing it, because up next, what male Sex and the City star is messing things up for the reboot? No. We'll explain after the break.
Not Eden.
What?
No.
Welcome back. Okay, I think we have a lot of Sex and the City stands here. All the men back here. Tom.
Yes, Tom for sure.
Tom loves it.
He let me borrow his season 5 DVD set.
I heard.
Yes.
Make sure you return it without scratches. Well, where my Aiden stands at, because it looks like he will be back for the reboot. Now, John Corbett told Page Six he's doing the HBO show and will be in quite a few episodes. Mm. Now, remember, rumor has it that Chris Noth, a.k.a. Big, will not be returning. Now, there has been no official word from HBO about either of them, and Sarah Jessica Parker is playing Coy.
Oh, well.
Here is my issue.
You have an issue already,
and it's not even an issue.
It hasn't even come out.
That's the problem. It hadn't even gone. They haven't even filmed anything yet, but I already know too much about the show. And I think HBO was going to go the Grey's Anatomy route, where they were going to drop the bomb that McDreamy was coming back in a dream sequence.
Okay,
and no one knew. Now we know that John Corbett's coming back and that Aiden's going to be a part of the show. It's just too much.
So are we saying he blew it? Are we saying he
I'm saying what he did was he announced Liana's pregnancy before she did.
He did. Well, then this is a Mr. Corbett issue.
This is a Mr. Corbett issue.
Here's the thing. I have no problems with Aiden coming back, but I want turquoise jewelry wearing Aiden with the long hair before the makeover. If you're going to come back, don't give me this, Aiden. Don't give me the short hair. Don't give me where he wears cute clothes. Give me the jewel, like the turquoise necklace,
like
the
so
vintage truck.
Oh.
Yes.
So that jacket, look at
Aiden.
It all.
And make sure that dog's still alive, too. Heck, if you're going to come back, make sure that dog is still alive. John also told Glamour Mag that he kept his entire Sex and the City wardrobe, including the underwear.
And the turquoise necklace. I knew it.
By the way, I'm like, why are you talking about this? It was only Hanes t-shirts, and they barely washed them for you anyway.
Well,
like,
he had suede jackets.
He
had boots.
Keep it. We don't want
jeans.
It back.
I actually did. I got from a Hallmark movie I did. There were these two beautiful coats, and they tailored them exactly to me. And they were like, you can have those. Fuller House, though?
That's nothing. In my contract.
Nothing.
I'm writing that. If I'm on Sex and the City, it's in my contract. I keep all the clothes, the shoes,
right?
Accessories, the wigs.
Yeah. Especially that.
By the way, I'm like, you work at E, honey. You ain't getting
You're not getting
okay? We ran out of time for Michael B. Jordan, but we'll talk about him tomorrow. You guys, come back. We'll have more Daily Pop tomorrow. You don't want to miss it.
Bye.
Bye.